When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the Cricket Badger IPL Daily Podcast 2021. The Indian Premier League 14th edition. It's great to have you with us. From the first match all the way to the final. Chennai Super Kings, Delhi Capitals, Kolkata Knight Riders, Mumbai Indians, Punjab Kings, Rajasthan Royals, Royal Challengers, Bangalore, Sunrisers, Hyderabad. May the best team win. Brought to you in association with Who Knows Wins, put your money where your mates are, and play along with the Cricket Badger.
Hello, hello everybody, for the penultimate time this IPL, we say hello and welcome to the Cricket Badger podcast, IPL Dailies, and we're looking ahead, two teams left, we're looking ahead to the final, joined by Neman, Dan and Neil. To have a look ahead towards Chennai Super Kings against the Kolkata Knight Riders in the final. If we get time as well, we might have a little look ahead to the England Lions squad that was announced today. And also, Naman drew my attention on the WhatsApp group to some changes in the mega auction, potentially likely. And we will have a look at that as well. Gentlemen, welcome. Naman, let's start with you. You used to be a KKR Badger. You jumped ship and went to CSK. Where do your allegiances lie now?
Yeah, I'm wearing yellow. I'm pretty much with CSK throughout. And maybe we'll be seeing Dhoni MSD tomorrow for the last time in yellow t-shirt. So I'm pretty much backing them. I always back them. I felt they had the team in there with them and with good youngsters and seniors as well. So they have all the flavors which is needed for T20, the off spinners, the leggies, the left-arm orthodox and well led by Dhoni. So overall, yes, I'm backing them throughout and they've done well in this tournament.
I love the way you always say flavours, to kind of like the mixture of things, and you always say flavours. I like that. Dan, welcome along. Your Delhi Capitals team, they just fell at the last hurdle again, didn't they? It was a real disappointment for them because I actually felt they've been the best team in the tournament, but just fell at the last gasp.
Yeah, I agree. I thought they were the best team in the tournament as well. And I could see them going all the way this year. Seems to be almost a mental block now where they just can't get over the line. But, you know, KKR deserved it. They're on the roll of momentum. And I think, you know, Delhi will come again next year and see where we go there.
Mega auction, we'll talk about that later. That's going to have a massive impact on the forthcoming IPLs, isn't it? Neil, looking ahead to CSK's chances in this. MSD, obviously a legend of Indian cricket. His chance to, I mean, not go out because he said he's going to carry on and he's going to say goodbye on his own terms on a home ground in India. But it's a big, big opportunity for MSD to add another title to his glowing CV.
Yeah, and he comes across as someone who doesn't pay attention or care about what everyone's saying off in the media or on Twitter. But I'm sure there's part of him that's, you know, smarting a little bit from some of the criticism. Because I think some of it's a little bit overblown. Yes, he isn't what he was, because quite frankly, who can be the best white ball player in the world all the way through their career? He had to drop off at some point, but he's not as far gone as everyone says. So I'm sure he'd want to, you know, prove himself to people who have been doubting him. As much as, you know, he always seems very stoic, there'll be a little bit of him that wants to show people that he still has it.
But even he admitted that he was struggling a little bit this time around. So, I mean, some of the criticism has been valid, to be honest. But he was fantastic, wasn't he? In the last game they played, it was him that got them across the line and into the final.
Yep. Can we have Tom Curran bowling at him all the time? I think that suits him absolutely fine. No, look, he obviously has dropped off, and there have been problems with his strike rates, his rotation. He still has it in him to produce when the chips are down, and that steely determination and that single-mindedness when it comes down to the crunch, that ice cold steel that he seems to have running through his veins, that'll get him through now and again. So yeah, I'd like to see him do it once more, batting down at 10.
You are listening to the Cricket Badger Podcast.
A couple of questions in on the Twitter feed. Tony Skinner, he asked on Twitter ahead of this podcast, if Andre Russell is fit, would you bring him in for the final and potentially drop Shakib, I guess, would be the obvious omission? Or do you stick with a winning side? Now, man, I mean, it's difficult, this one, because Andre Russell's a massive figure in the KKR squad, but they seem to have actually done a little bit better without him. They've gone on this winning streak whilst he's been injured. Would you unsettle a winning 11, or would you bring him back in?
I would bring him back in place of Shakib, because owing to the nature of the wicket, Sharjah is surprising a lot compared to last year. We were expecting a lot more batting friendly, but this is slowish and sluggish wicket. You might have seen how Shakib bowled yesterday. It was like a ball was staying so low that they were just not able to play him that nicely, and ball was not coming onto the bat. And Dubai is quite batting friendly at present, and also the left-handers in CSK are more dangerous with likes of Moeen Ali, Jadeja, Raina. If he plays, so they might be promoted ahead to take on Shakib. And also he bowls in power play overs, and if it turns out the exact opposite of what they played in Sharjah, it will be difficult for the likes of Morgan to control these three spinners, because the template would be changing, and he'll have to make more use of Iyer, which he has not bowled at all in last three matches. He has bowled the three spinners more. So I feel Russell will be a good, versatile a flavor again. The word which I would like to use, he will give that medium pacer 2 to 3 overs in between. And if not Shakib, then I would prefer Russell. And also in this kind of final, who would be better having an asset like Russell more than anyone?
How about you, Dan? Would you unsettle a winning side? They're on a terrific run at the minute, KKR, to get themselves into the final. It would be quite a big call, wouldn't it? Shakib's obviously contributed, but Andre Russell is a big unit in more ways than one.
I think it would be a bigger call to leave him out if he's fit. If he is declared fit to play. I think, like we've mentioned previously, Shakib is probably the one who will drop out. I'd say that's fairly certain, unless a straight shootout between Dre, Russ and Shakib. But I look at who is like more likely to win you the match in a big match situation. And I think this is the exact sort of situation that Andre Russell thrives off. And I think I would definitely pick Dre Russ if he's fit. Definitely. He could win, you know, five overs with a bat, could win you the game. And that's a gamble I think you've got to take in this situation if you're KKR.
Neil, we've asked this question a couple of times over the last few podcasts, and I know your answer on it. Have you got anything to add to Naman and Dan's comments?
Yeah, may not be their decision. Shakib might be playing for Bangladesh in the World Cup qualifying round. BCB are going to choose whether Shakib's even available.
He is available.
Really? Have the BCB come out and said that? Because I don't know what the bubble-to-bubble quarantine is, and the round starts on Sunday. But if they have, then it is interesting. One thing I would say is, fitness permitting, and not just fitness for Dre to be on the field, you need to make up those four overs. Now, if Drake can only take two at the death, then you have to rely on Venki Iyer. Now, I know he's had a couple of rolls over the arm. He's bowled a full four a couple of times, I think, and done pretty well. But he's a guy who's played half a season at this level. And quite frankly, is he a guy that you would trust to face Moeen or MSD at the death in the final of the IPL? So I think that comes into it as well, because we've all been really impressed with him. And he's drastically changed KKR's season since they've come to the Middle East, because he's lengthened their batting order. He's allowed a bit of freedom in the bowling, and his inclusion has changed everything for them in the way that they've played and their fortunes in terms of results. But I think it is a big ask to absolutely guarantee. So it depends. Can Dre's knees take at least three overs, I would say, so that you don't have to bowl Venki?
So what's your answer to the question? Would you play him or not?
I would play Shakib if Dre isn't 100% fit. I wouldn't put a batting-only Dre on the pitch in place of Shakib, assuming that Shakib is allowed to play.
Badgers are furry creatures. 85% of women badgers think bad grooming is a major turn-off. 80% of women badgers think men should trim below the belt. 89% of men think good grooming is essential to their professional success. Don't just dismiss it out of hand. Get on there, manscaped.com. Check out their great range of male grooming accessories. Hygiene, appearance, attractiveness, confidence. Simply go to manscaped.com, quote the discount code BADGER. You get 20% off, you get free shipping, and you get some seriously quality equipment. Manscaped.com. Together, we save balls.
Second question. Has Owen Morgan led KKR to the final? Or have his CSK players led him there? You see the difference there in the kind of the two parts of that? Has Owen Morgan tactically brilliantly led his team to the final, Naman? Or has his team bailed him out of his poor run of form with the bat?
No, I don't think so. They have bailed him out. I will back him. He has led well. The kind of rotation of the bowlers, I'll again say it. He did it brilliantly against RCB, also against Delhi as well. The middle overs, how he well nicely used Sunil Narayan in the power play and against RCB, brought him against Maxwell and ABD. Also, he studied. I'm impressed with the way he reads the wicket nicely. He reads the pitches. Yes, the toss and all favors everyone, and you are. One team is bound to lose, but end of the day, is using his assets very nicely. We saw Shivam Mavi not taking wickets in the power play over, so he did not bowl him at all in the in first six overs yesterday. He bowled his prime bowlers. He never bowled Ferguson two overs in first six overs any time. So overall, he has led his troops well. Yes, Iyer and likes of Gill and everyone has batted brilliantly. Likes of Dinesh Karthik also and Morgan, they have not batted, but they needed that kind of leadership, right? Because Karthik also left midway last year and he handed over to them, and they are getting the result irrespective of how it is contributing. And it's hard to judge sometimes like how number 5 and 6 just come in, and that too in UAE. It's just not that those easy wickets where like of Russell, Pollard and everyone, those sloggers are struggling. So it's not easy to judge this number 4, 5 and 6, I feel. So yes, he's out of form, but I feel that that is not impacting his captaincy. I would give him 10 on 10 there. He has taken them to the finals, so nothing to worry, I feel that.
Just realised, Naman, you've got your yellow, your CSK yellow on today, haven't you, on the pod? Dan, slightly different version of that question. As an Englishman, looking ahead to the T20 World Cup, are you concerned at all about Owen Morgan's form?
I can't say I'm not concerned, but I do think he's worth I feel like he's sometimes just worth the pick as the captain. I feel like the influence that he has on his teams is almost... you know, is second to none. He's had a cracking season as captain. I don't think it's a case that... I think it's... Going back to the first question, James, I think it's a little bit of both. I know it's a bit of a cop-out of an answer, but I do think it's a little bit of both. I get the impression with KKR that they are... The team are totally all in on Morgan, similar how, you know, how he carries England sometimes. I think he's, well, we all know he's ice cool at the death. In the real crunch moments, he seems to come through. He didn't necessarily last night, but I would back the team that Owen Morgan is captain in a tight game 99 times out of 100. I think in terms of England for the World T20, I think he could be protected by our batting lineup a little bit, probably better than he has been for KKR. I think less could be asked of him. And he'll play for England as long as he wants to play cricket. I don't think he'll be dropped.
So we can look forward to a 93-year-old Owen Morgan walking out at the World Cup, whatever year that would be. Neil, I've talked to you about Owen Morgan before, so I'm going to change the subject before I come to you. This will be Ravindra Jadeja's 200th IPL appearance. One of his teammates, Faf du Plessis, his 100th IPL appearance. Two quite big landmarks for those guys. Two big players in IPLs, both this time around and in times gone by as well. Obviously, landmarks and stuff don't mean you're going to win the game, but it would be quite a nice way of capping those landmarks if they were to lift the trophy at the end of them, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I mean, you certainly wouldn't argue against that. And, you know, these two guys who have who've used their image on social media well enough, so I'm sure there'll be a few lovely posters going around. I assume if they win, Faf will take his top off and he'll have a hundred spray painted across his chest.
You're only jealous, Neil Varani. You're like me. just because you would never take your top off in public, it doesn't mean... If I had a six-pack like Faf du Plessis, I'd never wear a shirt.
To be fair, if I looked like Faf, then I'd just be wearing the same towel that he did when he was telling Warner off. That would be my daily attire.
I think the closest James come is the hairline.
Anyway, let's change the subject. Thank you, Dan, for that. We'll take Dan off the call. Ritiraj Gayakwad, now, man, he needs 24 more runs to win the Orange Cap. So there's a little bit of a sideshow at the top of the order there. He's had a superb IPL. He needs 24 to get that Orange Cap on the top of his bonce by the time we finish the final. Do you think he'll do it?
Yes, 100%. And more than the number of runs, I like the way he takes his inning forward. He is not the one who will just cut loose after six overs. He wants to stay over there. And in all the press conferences, you might have heard Dhoni speaking about him. He has used the word authentic for Ritiraj a lot. He looks like an old school boy. Plays to such vintage shots. He's not just one who will just slog here and there. Those are textbook shots. And yes, he is here to stay long. And I am sure not only 24, he'll score another turn if it's needed. He is a brilliant talent, and I won't be surprised if he'll be brought in immediately in India's team for longer purpose. He's a brilliant lad. That is why I love CSK, because if you will see last 5 to 7 years, there will be always one or two players, the fruits of CSK coming out and playing for India. This is the kind of team CSK has been, and these are the products of IPL and CSK.
So on that basis, you should love Mumbai Indians even more. But anyway, we'll move on from that comment. Dan, Ritiraj Gayakwad, I mean, he's one of a number of youngsters in this IPL that have really shone. And it's one of the fantastic things about this competition. One of the reasons I love watching it is you see some of the future Indian stars, like Naman just mentioned, before the wider world do. Anybody that's not interested in the IPL, they miss out on that, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. It also is of massive benefit to the Indian national team, purely because it gets these players oven ready in really, really high-pressured situations before they even, you know, get involved with the national team. And could anything be more high-pressured in international cricket than playing for India? You know, it's the perfect breeding ground. And it's the envy of tournaments all around the world. The influence in is starting to come through in the Big Bash as well. Similar situation where a lot of Aussies are now coming through, having played in big games in big stadiums. Critics of the franchise system around the world, I think you just need to look at that, and that'll show you exactly what it can do for world cricket. But yeah, some terrific young Indians we're seeing coming through. And like Naaman said, I don't think it'll be long before they're starting to get heavily involved in the Indian setup.
It's a shame, really, that India have only got 11 shirts to give out, because they could probably put out three teams, really, for the amount of talent that is around. Neil, I mean, I really love the fact that a number of young Indians come through this one. But back to Gaekwads, he's kind of bubbled under for the last 2 years. In the first couple of sort of years of this cycle of the IPL, he's been there and he's produced a couple of 50s, but this season he's really kicked on, hasn't he? And we said it about somebody else the other day, but if you're going to have your best season in the IPL, do it in the final year of the cycle, because he's going to be quite attractive to a number of franchises, I imagine, going forward.
I don't think they're going to get a chance. If I were CSK, I mean, we don't know how many retentions they're going to get, but Gaekwad's someone that I'd be building the team around for the next 5 years. He's young enough age. He's short. He's already debuted. I think he played in Sri Lanka in the second team that got sent out over the summer. I think he's a wonderful player. I think T20, from the way he plays, T20 is probably his worst format. He looks like a very classical player, doesn't he? He looks like someone who could play ODIs and tests more easily than he does T20.
And he's one of those players, Neil, that he has that slightly lower strike rate in his first 20 balls or whatever it is, and he accelerates. But what has been fantastic about him this time, he stayed in enough balls to be able to accelerate. Because we often see players, they play the first 20, get out on the 21st ball, and they're out for a run of ball. Whereas this time, Gaekwad's gone all the way through.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very similar to how KL plays or a Dawood Milan. I don't think he's as slow as either of them, but there is a real sense that he's building an innings, and the amount of times that you see him still there and sort of the 10th, 12th over, it's a very regular occurrence. I will say this about him last season. He got COVID before the season started, which obviously is going to really knock you back, especially if there are lingering physical effects. And also he got played in the middle order because Shane Watson was having his swan song last year. I think this year he's had the benefit of being able to go into it fully fit and with a defined role, because we know that Stephen Fleming and MSD are very big on role definition. There's been that clarity. There's been a good partnership with Faf, and I think you see Faf giving him a lot of advice throughout the games. So his first proper season, and he's been wonderful. I think he's going to be one of the mainstays, assuming he can force his way into the team. He's definitely got the talent. If he can get through for India, I think he's going to be a wonderful player to watch over the next 10 years.
And we'll move on now to your chartered accountant, mate. I'll ask Naaman about Venkatesh Iyer. I mean, he's slightly older, but he's had a terrific sort of second half of this IPL. He didn't play in the first part in India, but they hit the tarmac in the UAE. He's come into that KKR side, and he's made a massive difference to their fortunes.
Yes, immense. And not only the difference, the kind of energy he brings in is live wire in the field as well. And the way he started his career in KKR, like he attempted pulled shots right of the first delivery to Bolt to Nokia. I don't remember the third bowler. I guess it was Avesh Khan. So he is right there, and we saw his pictures. He was interacting with Kohli. He was interacting with Dhoni. He is a learner. Yes, he's studious. He has too many degrees. That itself says a lot about him. But overall, the impact, yes, he has been chosen as a net bowler in the World Cup itself. So there itself sees like how they are already planning about him for the future. He's an asset, and not only with the bat, he has bowled in the death overs, the kind of slower deliveries he has in his asset. And the 1 year down the line, he is going to be I won't be surprised if he's a go-to bowler and he comes in as an all-rounder in the Indian team and plays as a finisher, maybe not an opener. He is into the right hand, and Kohli and Rohit Sharma, I'm sure he'll be more confident once he plays for India along with this good cricketer.
We could go through every young star in this final, but we'd probably have to do about four episodes of this podcast to get through them all. So we'll skip on. Just a few stats, Dan, and I don't know how much of a bearing you think these play on this final coming up. It might play no bearing in your mind whatsoever, but this is CSK's ninth final. They've won three of the eight they've played before. It's KKR's third final. They've won every single one before in 2012, 2014, and they beat CSK in the 2012 final. Head-to-heads between the two sides, CSK are leading the 25 matches 16-8, with one of them being a no result. 15 of the 25, interestingly, have been won by the chasing side between the two sides. CSK winning 9, KKR winning 6. Obviously, those are on different surfaces. How much, the last 6 matches between the two teams, CSK lead that 5-1. Does that play any part in this final tomorrow at all, the fact that CSK have actually had the upper hand in recent times?
I think it'd be quite easy to say it doesn't because it's a one-off final, but I'm not sure that that's strictly true. You've only got to look at the two meetings this season. CSK have beaten KKR both times. One of them was in a high scorer. I think both teams got 200. And the second game, CSK won... Was it the Jadeja? I think it was Jadeja won it off the last ball, possibly. And them close moments are the exact sort of games that you kind of back KKR in at the minute. I was thinking if it goes close in the final, I would probably say KKR, having been well prepared over the last few days, you'd probably back them again because they know what it takes to get over. I know CSK do as well, but the immediate sort of... feeling of thinking, yeah, this is our time, this is where we come through and win, you know, it could prove to be that way. And on the other hand, you look at CSK, who I think probably start, well, not probably, I would say they start as favourites. They've had a decent amount of time off, whereas KKR have been sweating their way through two really close finishes. They've played on the wicket as well more recently. I think the pitch is going to be slightly different to what the last two KKR games have been, slightly more higher scoring. I think to get back to the question, I think when they when they do cross that white line, I think it's whoever turns up on the day. I think the past stats, I think they could be read into until they start, but you know, when the game gets going, I don't think it really plays too much into their minds, to be honest.
There's probably going to be some people out there, some Owen Morgan cricket fans, fanatics, who rate his captaincy that highly. He probably thinks he's engineered these last two close encounters to add that kind of asset to his team going into the final.
Who knows wins? Put your money where your mates are. Download the app now from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store.
Let's move on to the mega auction. Naman's article that he shared with us prior to the podcast today. Two new franchises are going to be in IPL 2022. And to give them a little bit more of a level playing field, what's being rumoured is that the two new franchises will get effectively first picks, I think, in the next mega auction. So they can build, obviously the existing eight teams are going to be able to retain their star names, the ones they prefer to play. So to give the two new teams, Neil, a little bit of a level playing field in their first year, they're going to have two or three picks, whatever the retention is, they're going to be able to match that with their first picks at the mega auction. That seems quite a good idea to me.
It's entirely with precedent. It's what they did when CSK and Rajasthan had a couple of years out and Gujarat Lions and Rising Pune Supergiant came through. They were allowed, I think it was 5 players from between the two squads of the others. So in essence, they're getting their retentions in there on the remaining player pool before the auction starts. Makes complete sense. I'm not sure how they're going to do it. I've heard a couple of rumours that it's going to be only retentions and no right to match, which actually makes more sense with the two new teams. It's easier to work out. So probably a maximum of four players. With of those four, there's a maximum of 2 foreigners in there. That seems to be the rumour that's going around and makes sense to me. It's going to depend a lot on on who's left over. A lot of rumours going around about who may or may not be retained. I think there'll be some big names who choose to leave, especially if the price bans aren't imposed as has been done by the IPL in the past, when I remember a year where they had three retentions, I think at the last mega auction, and it said specifically one of them's at 15 crore. Naaman, you'd be able to tell me if I'm like a factor of 10 outs, but I thought it was like 1.5 million US was top, and then one, and then like 800,000 for the third. If they do it that way, then that would make it very easy to for the teams to pick. If they leave it free for all, then it could get very messy. And also, KRL is going to make a lot of money this year, because he's the one person we know is leaving Punjab and will get picked up either by one of the two new teams, probably one of the two new teams, or the likes of Sunrisers or maybe RCB, who require new captaincy.
I was going to say that now. I mean, KL basically, for a new franchise or for one of the two teams you mentioned, he's not just a ready-made player. He's a ready-made captain. He's got experience in the IPL. He's a perfect fill, isn't he? Naaman, you brought the article to my attention. It seems just to be common sense to me that the two new franchises get a little bit of a head start.
Yes, and I feel they need experienced players right up front, because they'll be the icon players and there will be brand building before the mega auction, because this first two initial players whom they will choose, they will be surrounding their team, rest of the team among these two players. And I'm sure there will be one or two experienced players and they will be helping them around to build a team along with the coach whom they choose for. So I feel it's a correct decision to go for, and I feel it to be fair, because rest of the eight teams are going to retain their two to three players along with the captain and icon players. So it's fair to give these two new teams a chance and create their fan base around and look for the pool, which what all players are there and whom they need to be captain and from which country they are looking on for more players, and likes of this Warner and also are, I'm sure, going to be available. So a lot of thinking and going into, but it's a good opportunity and also the correct decision, I think.
Dan, I mean, the other two guys have answered the question very well there, but from a slightly different angle, IPL's had eight teams in it for a few years now. The addition of two new ones to make it 10-team tournament, it's already a long tournament. Do you think that's a good idea or a bad idea? Is it all about the cash, or is it about spreading out the talent and making it a bigger, better cricketing spectacle?
No, I think, I mean, global sport is absolutely all about the cash. But I think I understand what you're saying. I feel times that this year, certainly after the restart, there was a few dead games between teams who very quickly realised that they didn't have a chance of qualifying. That will, you know, probably increase.
That's really cruel, Dan, to just remind Neil of Sunrisers Hyderabad.
Well, you know, yeah, sorry about that, Neil. But no, I'm sure you can agree with the sentiment. I think the more dead games we have, the kind of less quality of the tournament, I'd say. I know it gives a greater chance for players to be picked up and get the opportunity to play, and it'll take the IPL to different parts of the country.
And that's one of the things, Dan, at the IPL over the last two or three seasons for me, is other than Sunrisers this season, it's been very condensed in the middle. You could make a case for quite a lot of the teams in the run-up to the fight for the playoffs, all the way through to the very last game. There's always something riding on it. There's less chance of that, isn't there, with 10?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's going to give better exposure. I mean, it gives a greater opportunity for some more gems to be...
We'll never know. We'll never know what those gems were going to do, would we?
I would say that, from my point of view, that the tournament is about the right length at the moment. And we've seen with the Big Bash how an expansion has led to lower viewing figures, because people just get tired. It's got to be fairly short and snappy there to keep the attention. So possibly with the inclusion of two additional teams, instead of having a round robin where everyone plays everyone, then you split it into two groups of five and have a larger playoff stage, sort of like a football World Cup. I think that would make things interesting, and it'd certainly also prevent as many dead rubbers towards the back end, and more knockout games clearly provides more excitement. That would definitely be an option. I don't think they can go round robin. I don't think you can take the tournament to 2 months, 2.5 months ahead of the 6 weeks. Apart from anything, at the moment, the IPL, due to the size and the quality, are getting a window within the international calendar. If you increase
That's the thing as well, Neil, isn't it? Because you're going to pay off all of the international cricket boards. If your players are going to be asked for more and more and more and disappear for 2 months, what's it going to be next time? You know, 2.5 months, 3 months, all of a sudden you're not playing international cricket for a quarter of the year. There has to be some kind of balance there, doesn't it? And it's going to be interesting. I'm really looking forward to that mega auction, almost more than this final. I put out a tweet earlier on, and Naman, shut your ears, because CSK and KKR are probably my seventh and eighth favourite sides in the IPL. So I've got the two sides I've got very little time for fighting it out for the trophy tomorrow. So I'm looking forward to the mega auction, I think, more than the IPL final when it comes down to it.
BlackRatCricket.co.uk. You've probably spent lockdown dreaming about scoring runs and taking wickets. Well, let Black Rat Cricket kit you out and take you towards success. BlackRatCricket.co.uk. They've got a swanky new website, and if you quote Badger when you check out, you can get yourself 15% off. BlackRatCricket.co.uk. Join the infestation.
Jacob, and I sent the Badger a message, and now I'm on the podcast with this jingle. If you would like to get in touch with the Cricket Badger podcast, then tweet @cricket_badger.
If you're only tuned in for the IPL chat, then we're going to be talking about the England Lions now for the next 5 minutes. So now's the time to say goodbye. Join us tomorrow for the festivities of trophy presentations and the awards ceremony. But if you want to just have a little chat about the England Lions, fellas, I mean, I'm glad Dan's rejoined us here, because as an England fan, Dan, I thought the Lions squad, Tom Abel from Somerset, Josh Bohannon from Lancashire, James Bracey, Gloucestershire, Brian Cast, Durham, Mason Crane, Hampshire, Matthew Fisher from Yorkshire, Ben Folkes, Surrey, Alex Lees, Durham, Saqib Mahmood from Lancashire, Liam Norwell from Warwickshire, Matt Parkinson, Lancashire, Dom Sibley, Warwickshire, Jamie Smith from Surrey, and Rob Yates from Warwickshire. A lot of those players, Silverwood, I think, had made some points about he didn't want anybody to be making their debuts in this Ashes series. He didn't think it was that kind of series. These are the next in line, aren't they, the Lions? And that, to me, looks like a really well-picked squad.
It does. I mean, it's interesting you've said that, but of the players who have played for England, I would say Mason Crane, probably not going to get a game. Ben Folkes, probably not going to get a game. Dom Sibley's probably not going to get a game. So of the experienced players they've picked who have played Test cricket, I don't think many of them are going to be, they wouldn't be my first cab off the rank if one of their players in their positions got injured. I do think it's a good squad. There's a bit of experience in there. You've got the one I'd really love to see Tom Abel get a run for England.
I'll tell you what, Dan, I think he's a future England captain, that lad.
Yeah, you've said that before. Yeah, I mean, I do really rate him. I think Alex Lees as well, he's probably can count himself a little bit lucky, because he's had a few years of barren returns, and he's had a good summer, and kind of, you know, that says all you need to know really about the
he's my favourite selection there. I'm a Yorkshire fan, and he was obviously a Yorkshire player for a long time, and I was working there, and I felt with Leesy that he got very, very close when Adam Lythe was selected for the tour of the West Indies that time, and then played against New Zealand and then into the Ashes. I think it was pretty much a toss of the coin between those two from the selectors, whether it was going to be Lees or Lythe, and Leesy just missed out. Then he had a little bit of a poor run, has moved to Durham, has sorted himself out, and has had a fantastic season in 2021.
Great season, yeah.
So I'm really pleased, because I like Leesy. He's a good lad, and I'm pleased to see him get the recognition that I think he deserves. Matthew Fisher as well from Yorkshire. He's had problems with injuries all the way through his career, and has actually put a summer together where he's not been off the park, and has been rewarded for that as well. So that's good to see.
Yeah, Josh Bohannon as well. I think he's earned his opportunity for the Lions. I think the one that I would say is probably the two that would probably say you would say have got the most chance of getting a game would be Saqib Mahmood and probably Matt Parkinson. I do hope Matt Parkinson doesn't get a token Sydney bowl, you know, sort of as we had in previous years, throw a leggy in at Sydney when they were 4-0 down. I would have had Parkinson in my squad anyway, to be honest. Bryden Cast as well, another one who might, has got a chance of getting a game, and very quickly if Mark Wood's injuries, you know, if he, I can't see Mark Wood playing five tests, anywhere close to five tests, to be honest. But yeah, I think it's a relatively strong Lions squad, and I think they'll give England a game in the warm-up games.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting match, actually, isn't it, in the warm-up matches at the start. What about you, Neil? Is there anybody there that stands out as being an exciting pick for the Lions?
Well, I mean, Saqib is the obvious one. I was surprised, actually, that he wasn't in the main squad. But to be honest, the Lions squad, I think, can, assuming they've got short bubble-to-bubble movement, if there is any quarantine between the two bubbles, it's only a day or so, then the Lions squad is basically an extension of the main squad. It's just that those backup players are actually going to get some game time to keep themselves in nick rather than just, you know, carrying trunks for and netting for 2 months, which makes absolute sense. If you're going to replace someone, then have it with someone who's actually, you know, held a bat in anger in the last 2 months.
That's a really good point, Neil, because last winter, it was a big, big squad that England took, and effectively the Lions were there, but they were there behind the scenes just netting for the entire tour rather than actually playing. So at least they're going to get some matches and get some games there. Now, man, what about you? Is there anybody there that stands out from your point of view? Can you see anybody that excites you as a potential future England player there?
Yes, pretty much. Like, if you see the squad, half of them already played against Pakistan, likes of Cars, Parkinson, all were there when the prime England team was in quarantine due to COVID. But I am happy for the likes of James Bracey. They have kept him in contention. They did not discard him after the series they played. So good to see him and Ben Fokes also coming back in. I guess I am a bit disappointed to not see Harry Brook over there. He should have been there in the squad. I feel he played brilliantly in this county seasons, and
I don't know how that works, Naman, actually, because both Harry Brook and Liam Livingstone are going to be part of the Big Bash this season. But then again, Tom Abell is as well. So I'm not whether they're giving them some time off or not, I'm not sure. But the I'm not quite sure how that actually kind of gels together. But I know Harry Brook is going to be playing for the Hobart Hurricanes, isn't he, in the Big Bash?
Are they all in one place, like the women's thing is? Are they all bubbled up in with a couple of stadiums, or are they actually travelling?
I'm not sure, but I know I read somewhere the other day that Liam Livingstone wanted a bit of time off this winter, so he's chosen the Big Bash above the Lions. I think that's how it's worked with him. Whether that's the same for Harry as well, I'm not sure.
Interesting with Livingstone, James. I read just before we came on that he said he wants some time off, like you said, and he's looking forward to spending Christmas at home with his family. So doesn't leave much of a window of the Big Bash to play if he wants Christmas at home with his family.
And he's still got to do the same quarantine schedule as Australia. Yeah.
I don't know how much cricket Livingstone will play in the Big Bash. I'm wondering if he's going to pull out, maybe.
Joe Clark's another one. Who would have been exciting. The little that I've seen of him has been absolutely superb.
Neil, Joe Clark is one of the best young players I've ever seen on the county circuit. He hits that cover drive as crisply and as sweetly as anybody. But I still think there's that hangover, isn't there, from what happened at Worcestershire, which we won't go into. But I think the ECB have got long memories when it comes to that.
Well, Stokes had a number of disciplinary problems before and during his England career, and has managed to overcome them. I hope Joe Clark gets afforded the same leeway.
And Tom Colley-Cadmore in the limited over arena as well was part of that too, and hasn't been picked by England since. So I think it's time to bury that and let those guys move on a little bit, because I think Joe Clark's a terrific player. I totally agree with you. Let's get back very finally before we say goodbye today to the final. I know what you're going to say now, man, to this question, but who wins it?
Let's say for me, but overall, I just want to, I'm happy to see this tournament went well. So thank all the players. These are not still the top people, and to finish this tournament, just the World Cup is just not easy. The cricket this
year. No, I'll just jump in there because you've gone all distorted on me when it comes to the audio there. But I've got your general gist there, that I think you're just happy that it's been played and we actually had the chance to actually complete the tournament, which I completely agree with. Because I think I saw a couple of comments from people suggesting that it's only a cricket tournament. Why are we bothering? A, there's the money, which is not insignificant by any means. There's a lot of zeros at the end of the figure when it comes to the money. But why do you play sport? Why do you start a tournament? You start the tournament to try and complete the tournament and see who lifts the trophy at the end of it. That's why you start a tournament. So from that perspective, from a sporting angle, from a cricketing angle, yeah, fantastic that we've got it finished. I'm sure most relieved man in the stadium tomorrow at the end of it will be Sourav Ganguly, who I imagine has probably increased his bandwidth on his broadband connection by no end to try and get all of the meetings in to facilitate the second part of this IPL in the UAE. And I'm sure he'll probably just lie down in a dark room after the final and just think, whoa, thank goodness that's over. Dan, what about you, the final, KKR or CSK?
I think if it goes close, KKR might do it. And I think if it's not close, I think I could see CSK win fairly heavily. The romantic in me would love to see Dhoni need 6 to win off the last ball and smash it out of Dubai.
Well, it would be a no ball. He needs 7 and it's a no ball and he smacks it out of Dubai. It's even more classic. What about you, Neil?
CSK for me. I think that KKR have been superb, but a lot of that's been built on their spin attack. And I think CSK in Moeen Ali, Rayudu and Dhoni have got excellent players of spin. So that may, on just on matchups, I think that's going to tip it.
Just a couple of comments have come in over the last few minutes. Tony Skinner says Big Bash is being played each team's home ground. So it is kind of
wow, even around. Perth.
And Vasantha said the English squad is no big difference from 2017, and there aren't too many new players. I think he's talking about the main squad there. And I still think England bowlers have to put pressure on Australia. Well, yeah, of course they do. That's their job. But we'll see how that pans out. We'll see how the IPL final pans out. And obviously the T20 World Cup is just around the corner. Cricket, cricket, cricket. It's just how cricket badgers like myself like the world to look when it comes to the sporting arena. We will join you, fair badgers out there, whether you watch us on the video feed or whether you listen to the podcast in a more traditional way later on. We will join you shortly after the final has finished tomorrow. We will crown the winners and we will give out our awards. All of the badgers have now voted in the various sections of the award ceremony, and I know the winners. The rest of you don't yet. You will find out tomorrow, as will you listeners. Join us then. Enjoy the final, everybody, and we'll see you very soon indeed.
Brought to you in association with Who Knows Wins. Put your money where your mates are and play along with the Cricket Badger. Thanks for listening. We'll be back every day throughout IPL 14. Have your say on Twitter on @cricket_badger. We'll see you again tomorrow.
Podcast Network.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.